I'm going to share a little bit about true communion and some revelation concerning communion. But before we do that, I want to go to John 13. Before the Lord had communion with his disciples, very, very powerful. Now we're going to begin in John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, now notice this, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now I want you to notice, all betrayal, offense, when these things that come at our life, people reject, abuse, betray, offend, though that person is doing it, there is always a devil behind it. There's always a devil. It's either the devil or a devil. But there's always a demonic force behind. And when that happens, so many times when someone betrays and offends, abuses, rejects you, sometimes these things will get locked within our life. And the reason why it gets locked, you ever notice somebody will carry something for 20 years? Sometimes people will carry something and the person who committed the offense has already gone on. And they're still carrying the person. And he or she is still alive in their heart. And the reason why these things can remain in the heart is because it's spiritual in nature. Though a person in the natural performed or responsible for the offense or the betrayal is spiritual in nature and it gets locked in spiritually. That's why when you have ever been betrayed, how many of you ever been betrayed in this life? Get in ministry, you'll find it. It'll happen. I want to be called to the ministry. Well, you better develop some rhino hide. And if you don't have it, you'll develop it. Trust me. Over time, because you'll encounter plenty of it. And sometimes you can't just shake it off, like people say, just shake it off. Because sometimes these things are spiritual and they get locked up in you. And though you try to forgive them in the natural, you're forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. You got to get down into the root of the spiritual nature of that offense. Because that's where, it's not just your words here in the natural. That's where it begins. But it's getting into the root of that spiritual offense. Now the Lord foresaw that Judas was going to betray him. There was nothing that happened to him that he didn't know. Boy, I wish I could walk like that. Getting better. But I'd sure like to know. I mean, he knew what was happening before it happened. He knew Judas was going to betray him. That night he knew it. He did something very powerful. Let's continue on. Verse 4. For he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them. So he begins a foot washing ceremony here with the disciples. He was doing this very specifically, for a very specific reason. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, so he's going around the table, and Peter said to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? You got to love Peter's heart. And Jesus answered and said to him, what I do, you don't know now, but you'll know hereafter. You don't know what I'm doing right now, Peter, because I'm not just washing your feet. I'm washing your feet. He goes, you don't even know what I'm doing right now. But you're going to know hereafter. Notice Peter's response. Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I wash thee not, you have no part with me. Then Peter goes, man, wash my feet, my head. Wash all of me. Man, he had a lot of zeal. He said, wash it all. Jesus said unto him, oh, you got to get this. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean. Every withhold, and you are clean, but not all. You are clean, but not all. I'm not washing all of your feet today. Though I'm washing everybody's feet, there's only one that's unclean in the room. He goes, you're clean already, Peter. I'm doing this as an example to you. But not all of you are clean. I'm washing all the feet in the room, but I'm really only washing one person's feet. Who do you think that might be? For he knew, verse 11, who should betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. He knew who would betray him. He goes, I'm washing all of your feet, but there's one that will betray me. Speaking out of Psalms, my own familiar friend lifted his heel against me. My own familiar friend lifted his heel against me. Look at verse 18. I speak not of you all. Well, look at verse 14. If then I be your Lord and Master and have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Verse 18, I speak not of you all. I'm not even talking to all of you. Even though I've washed all your feet, I'm only washing one's feet. Even though I'm speaking to all of you, I'm only speaking to one right now. It's the one that's going to lift his heel against me. I speak not of you all, for I know whom I've chosen, but the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me lifted his heel against me. I know that many of us in here have had people lift their heel against us, been offended, betrayed, rejected, but this betrayal, above all, cost his life. Because Judah was going to lift his heel against the Lord that night. And when he lifted his heel, he was going to betray him, and the ultimate betrayal was going to cost his life, and the Lord knew it. But he was the sacrificial lamb. He submitted to the betrayal. He submitted because he was going to stand in the seat of betrayal for every one of you, for every one of us. He was going to receive the punishment of that betrayal. He was going to receive the death. Now, none of us have been betrayed to that level. But there many times because what people have done to us, things get locked up in us. And the Lord foresaw that Judas would lift his heel against him. And he washed his feet that night. He washed the foot of the betrayer. He goes, I will wash your heel before you lift it against me. As a sovereign act of forgiveness. I will stand in forgiveness, though it's going to cost me my life, and though I know you're going to do it, and I know that I'm going to die. I'm going to sovereignly forgive you and wash your feet of the offense. Is that powerful? And if I've done this as your Lord and Master, so should you do this to one another. It's not just having a foot washing ceremony. It's the foot washing. It's washing the feet of those that have lifted their heel against you in this life. Because there are people that have lifted their heel against you 5, 10, 15 years ago. And sometimes we carry it. Carrying things that people had lifted their heel against us. Had Judas, this is a hard saying, but I'm going to say it anyway, been able to receive the forgiveness of the Lord, he would have been heaven this day. Because God forgave him in advance. He couldn't forgive it. Hung himself. But God forgave him that night and washed his feet. He goes, you're all clean. There's only one unclean, but I'm going to wash him tonight before he lifts the heel. that he will be washed under heaven when it's lifted against the sacrificial lamb of God. Man, that's powerful. Boy, if we could ever get to that place, he did it before. Sometimes when things happen, I remember when there was a season in this church where my own familiar friends, boy, when you have a social relationship or a natural relationship with somebody, it's deep. But when you have a spiritual relationship with somebody, it runs to the core of your being. When you break bread together, when you share revelation together, when you share dreams and visions and you walk hand in hand, like the Lord said, he was my own familiar friend. He walked with him for 3.5 years. Walked with a betrayer. Man, I don't know how the Lord did that, because he knew the whole time he was going to betray him. He knew the day he showed up. But he walked with him anyway and loved him. Man, I'll tell you, that is love. If someone walked through that door glowing like a light bulb, but inside there were a ravenous wolf and you knew it, and you could walk with them in fellowship for 3.5 years knowing that they're going to lift their heel against you, that's love. Because not everybody walks through that door as a lamb. They all look like lambs. Leaders look like lambs. And they're a goat inside. And some of them are wolves. They're coming to devour something in your life. Boy, there was a season here that everything that could have been devoured got devoured. I mean, the devourers just came in succession. One devourer, then another one come, then had another guy come, and he mopped up all the rest. I mean, you just sit there and just boom, one after another, and I'm like, golly. The sad truth is I didn't even want to be here after the first one, and there was 5 more to go. That stuff has a major impact on the dynamic of your life and the interior of your life, because you carry that. You just don't shuffle that off. Or you just shake it off. You don't do that when it's that deep, because it's spiritual. The betrayal and the rejection and the offense, it's not just someone hurts your feelings. I'm in the betrayal. And it sets into you. And it'll affect you. Though you forgive because you're supposed to, you still carry them. I remember I was carrying them 2-3 years after it happened. It wasn't just a person, it was them. People, many of them. And though I'd forgive, you know, forgive, but I'd see them. You ever had somebody had something happen to you and then you hadn't seen them in a while and you see them again and you go, oh. You get so uncomfortable. You're not like embracing them with loving arms. You're like, how you doing? How you doing? I'm great. How are you? I'm doing just fine. How are you doing? You got a wall stick, Leavenworth steel all around you. In other words, you're not going to do that again to me. Don't even think about it. I got steel between me and you. Lots of it. And you cannot get through these bars, but I'm doing just fine. And you put that smile on your face. But you've got something locked up inside you. You know what that's called? A trespass. An offense. Someone will do something to you, but a trespass stays with you a long time because your land, your garden had been trespassed upon. It has been stained. It was corrupted. And the trespass, because it's not natural. Who put it in the heart of Judas? Who was behind Judas? The devil. When the spiritual, demonic powers that induce somebody and these kind of things happen to our life, it'll set up what's called a trespass. And when a trespass gets set up in your life, it gets locked up in there. And though you try to forgive and you can release here in this natural thing, it's still there. When you think about them, it's there. When you see them, it's there. You carry it. And though you want to get rid of it. So many times you say, I've tried. How many of you ever done it? I tried to forgive, but they're still there because it's spiritual and it's locked up inside you. Go to John chapter 20. I'm going to share something very deep with you today. Verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed upon them and said unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. He went, whew. People say, well, why people blow on people? Because Jesus did it. If you're in the anointing, verse 23. Now notice what he says here, verse 23. Man, this is powerful. And he says, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now, when you first read that, you probably won't understand what that means, because that word sins actually is a Greek word, hamartano. It's the same word used in Matthew 18 when he says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass. That's hamartia. It's still from the same word. It actually means trespass. That word, that was incorrectly translated there. That word means trespass, hamartano. So listen to this. Whosoever's trespass, you remit, or you let go, or you loose, you forgive, you don't keep it any longer. They'll be remitted. But whosoever's trespass you retain, it will be retained. Do you see that? When someone trespasses against you, you have two choices, loose it or retain it. If you retain it, it will affect you. It will affect your relationship with God. If you loose it, you're going to have to become skilled at loosing these kinds. When someone ruffles your feather, that's easy to forgive them. When they trespass, it's not so easy. Even if you're trying to forgive them, something's locked up in there because it's spiritual in nature and it's got up into your spirit and it's locked. And it'll lock you up. It'll lock up the blessing of the Lord on your life. It'll lock up the anointing. I have seen it. You can ask Pastor Chuck, Pastor Anna. I have seen it hundreds and hundreds of times in our tenure of ministry. I know Pastor Van and Bonnie have seen it. People will come in, they will love the anointing, they'll love what's going on, and something will happen to them beyond getting their feathers ruffled. They'll have a legitimate offense, or an illegitimate offense. But when it comes on them, they will move from the front row, to the third row, to the fifth row, to the back. I saw it one time. Ann and I had dinner with this couple. And they asked us, what, tell us the truth, what happened? We told them, and they said, we believe. Because sometimes when things going on, lies, I mean, the enemy is the author of lies. He will lie. Have you ever been lied about? That's why you don't just receive an accusation. And we told them, and they were all cool, lifted their hands. That was Sunday. Plugged in on Thursday. They were there where Jerry was. On the other Sunday, they were back in the back row. And they had a veil over them. And a scowl on their face in 7 days. Didn't see him after that. Hadn't seen him since. When these things get locked up, they will veil you. What you could receive from before, you can't receive any longer. That's why you got to be careful who you're listening to, because especially someone's carrying a trespass can transfer the trespass. Hang around somebody that's full of bitterness. You'll get bitter if you keep listening to it. Because they're veiled, and they carry the trespass, and they transfer that trespass if you allow them. You let somebody speak to you under a trespass, and then all of a sudden your mentality gets forged by a spirit that's riding upon a trespass. Sometimes it even happened to you. I've had that happen before, now that we're at it. Somebody might get offended, now their best friend's offended, and never done anything, hardly have ever spoken to their best friend, and they are scrowling at you like the one that's offended. You ever had that happen? That's because they're carrying the same thing, because they're in relationship with an offense. So the trespass gets shared. They're both carrying the same trespass, even though the other person never had any interaction with the offense. They're just carrying it because they're in relationship with the one that's carrying it. Be very careful who you align yourself with. If you're going to make it, you're going to have to align yourself with people that are whole. You're going to listen to people that are whole. You can't just listen to anything everybody says. Whosoever trespass you retain, it'll be retained. Whosoever trespass you keep, you remit, it'll be loosed or retained. Loosed or retained. All right? Now, let's go to Matthew 6. I'll show you something. This is what the Lord showed me about how to deal with these levels of trespass. Sometimes you can't get it the first time around. Sometimes you can't come and say, Pastor Chuck, I forgive you of the trespass. You know, you shake their hand. If that ever happened, it's still there. Because it's not just a saying, I forgive you. Well, Father, I just forgive them, amen, but it's still there. It's the relinquishing, the loosing, the letting go. And sometimes these things have to be dealt with in the spirit where they originate. Because they originate in the spirit, they've got to be dealt with in the spirit. And I'll show you that. Okay, this is the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, right? It's not just the one you just pray in the morning, our Father which art in heaven. These are components of prayer. These are components that you and I will do, different ones of these components. Worship is a component. How it be thy name. It's a component of worship. Thy kingdom come. That's a component of transference. It's not just the saying of it. It's the interaction of it. After this manner pray you, verse 9, our Father which art in heaven, worship. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. Transference. Give us this day our daily bread. Provision. Forgive us of our debts. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Now look at verse 14. Still in this. If you forgive men their trespasses, or you remit, you loose it, let it go, your heavenly Father will forgive you. If you forgive not men the trespass, neither shall your heavenly Father forgive your trespass. Now, there is a few erroneous teachings on this. Because you carry a trespass doesn't mean you stand in a position of unforgiveness where your salvation is concerned. This is not dealing with your salvation. This is dealing with your interaction with God and your relationship. But if you have a trespass that has not been loosed, that has not been let go, and it's there, it will affect your relationship. You'll be standing in a place of unforgiveness towards them and the Father, and it'll affect your relationship with Him. Not salvation, but it will affect your relationship. That trespass will cut you off. You'll try to pray and it's nothing there. You try to worship and nothing's there. You'll be disconnected. And until that thing gets dealt with, you won't be able to connect into the vein of the Spirit. That's why this is one of the enemy's number one tools. Offense, betrayal, rejection, trespass. He wants to create the trespass. Everything that's coming at your life, he's wanting to get in and create the trespass. He wants your ought in your heart to move to unforgiveness, your unforgiveness to move to bitterness, and he wants to seal the trespass, because if he can seal the trespass, you'll carry it for a long time. He'll cut you off from your life source. You won't be able to feel the flow of the anointing. You won't be able to partake of it. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. Heavens will get like brass over you. Blessings will get cut off. All that's resulting from trespass. Now, isn't it amazing? This is where the Lord taught me. I was carrying this. I said, Lord, I have forgiven them 50 times, 100 times, but it's still there. Went through Zozo twice. And Zozo was good. It cleaned a lot of stuff out. But some of this stuff is still locked up in there. I didn't know what to do. The Lord said, you're going to have to bring them to me. I said, you want me to go gather them up? Have a worship service? He goes, no, they're already in your heart. No need to gather them. They're already with you. He said, I want you to bring them before the throne of grace. Oh, I said, how do I do that? He said, just approach me because they're already with you. And he goes, I want you to bring them before my throne. And I want you to begin blessing them every day. The Bible says, love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. Bless those that persecute you. Bless them. He goes, I want you to bring them before the throne of grace. And I want you to begin blessing them before me. Boy, I tell you, that's easier said than done. Because when I got out, I was just like, okay, by faith, I come to you. I bless them. I bless them. I bless them. I bless them. I mean, the first 5-6 times I sat there, I said, can I stop now? He says, no, keep going. I'm like, I sat there 15-20 minutes blessing them. Felt like 5 hours. The last thing I want to do is see them blessed. I did not want to see them blessed. Tell you that straight up. I bless them. Next day, I bless them. Father, I lift them. I bless them. Do them good, Father. Not evil all the days of life. Let your glory surround them. Open doors of favor and opportunity for them. But I didn't really say it like that. Open doors of favor and opportunity for them. Bless them, Lord. He kept saying, bring them to me. So I kept doing it. So I got high enough into him. I started getting into his presence. Started moving out of this jurisdiction into a spiritual jurisdiction where all this stuff originated. It originated by the devil, but I had to get in a higher jurisdiction than he operated off of. So I had to get up into the spiritual realm, right hand of God, seated in heaven places kind of thing. And I started entering in. The Lord said, enter into me, and I'd get into his presence. He goes, now bless them. Now bring them to me at the throne of grace. Bless them. And all of a sudden, something started changing one day. I started releasing. I said, I bless him, Lord. I bless him. I bless him. I went on about 2 weeks, and about 2 weeks in, I was just doing this. Sometime it was routine. Sometime I could feel the presence of the Lord, but the Holy Ghost would not stop. And all of a sudden, boom, love and glory of God come out of that realm, just completely smothered me. And I was so full of the love of the Father and the love of the Lord for them. And I just wept over them and wept and wept and wept and wept and wept. And I spent day after day after day with one person after another after another after another after another. And there was a lot of it. Just being unveiled, being unveiled, being unveiled. I said, Lord, what is happening? He goes, the key is you got them to me. You got them to where I was. You stopped trying to deal with that in your jurisdiction. Because you're trying to deal with that spiritual fence in this jurisdiction. You're going to have a hard time getting to the root of it once you got up into my jurisdiction. Before the throne of grace, and you were blessing them before me. When you started doing that, it released his love, see. Oh, it was powerful. Did you know that this chapter right here gave that key? Did you know that? The whole Lord's Prayer? That was a component of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive men their trespasses. Even Luke says, he says, forgive our debts. Luke says, forgive our trespasses. Did you know there's a master key there of where that prayer is supposed to be prayed from? Do you know the Lord's Prayer? Because it wasn't something that was supposed to have been recited. It was a component that you were supposed to be connected with the Father and operating in that. And it was there the whole time. What are you talking about? Go to Matthew 6, 6. 6, 9 is the Lord's Prayer when you pray. Matthew 6, 6 is the position of where you're going to pray these things, or where you're going to interact with the Father, where you're going to worship from, where you're going to receive from, where you're going to forgive, where you're going to loose, where you're going to operate. You're a spiritual being. Boy, you got to learn to operate from that place. That's the problem. We try to deal with too many things here. We don't get the results because we're not dealing with them there. Look at Matthew 6, 6. Taking notes. The position of prayer. When you pray. I know a lot of us pray. We give our 5, 10, 15 minutes. We do our thing with the Lord. But really, at some point in time in this life, we're going to have to learn to enter in to where He is and do these things from that position, not this jurisdiction. Notice what He says. When you pray, enter into thy closet. That's not the one where your shoes are. The interior sanctuary, the interior chamber, whatever closet this is, the Father's there. Because it says it, when you have shut the door, pray to the Father which is in that secret place. So wherever this closet is where the Father dwells, and it's where the Father will see you, is where His eye will be upon you. And when you have shut the door, you're in. Shutting the door, you move from one jurisdiction to another. Stepping out of this one into where He is. The secret place, the abiding place, the dwelling place, under the shadow of the Almighty, in the pavilion of God, in the secret place of His tabernacle, under the shadow of His wings. Found in Him. In Him we live, move, and have our being. Abiding in Him. Dwelling in Him. Being hidden in the tabernacle of God. The place of in Christ, where the Father dwells. Shutting the door to the world, shutting the door to the flesh, shutting the door to this domain, this jurisdiction, and moving into the Spirit. When you move into the Spirit, then start exercising the components of prayer. Because the Father's there. It was the same place you were to forgive, the throne of grace. And that's what happened. It took me a little while. But I kept going by faith, kept going by faith. Eventually, I got to where He was, and I shut the door. And that's what made it work. Because I got into the position of where He is. I got in the Spirit. I got into the secret place. I was able to drag them in there with me. And I moved out of this jurisdiction into His. And when you start dealing with things from His jurisdiction, something will happen. Something good is about to happen. And it started releasing His love and His glory and His grace and His power because I was where He is. Where I am, there shall you be also. Father, I pray that they be with me where I am. Seated together in heavenly places. No trespass can survive that place. None of them survived. There was probably over 25 of them. 25 separate cleansings. It was horrible. God sent a prophet here, Benjamin, in our day, and I'm thinking, oh man, he's going to prophesy where we're going. Hallelujah. And he's like, man, I see you in a pool of blood. I'm like, oh, great. Because that's where I was in the Spirit and couldn't even see the condition I was in. But God, this realm, being able to get where He was, finally shutting the door and get them into a jurisdiction that was higher than this one, started releasing the kind of power necessary to set you free. Or you can carry it the rest of your life. Some of you are carrying things from your mama and your daddy from a long time ago, and some of your mamas and daddies are already gone. Still carrying them. Carrying actions, reactions, and behavior patterns from their life that they instilled into you. things they said into you, the things they locked, their words got locked up into you. You're no good. And they got it all locked up in you and still believe it. You're not good enough. All that stuff gets locked up in there, but God will set that free. Ain't that good? Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Now, I want to end this. I want to close with a third part of this message. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I hope you heard what I just said. If you'll get that key, Matthew 6:6 is a master, master, master key to all that will happen. It'll change your life forever. I'll speak a little bit about the communion table, because the Lord had communion with them right after Judas lifted his heel against him. The Lord received communion. I want to show you something about the communion tables. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. I want to tie in the body of the Lord a little bit with this betrayal. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He took the cup, this cup of the New Testament, his blood. Drink it in remembrance of me. And as often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Now, these next three or four verses, very, very misunderstood verses when it comes to communion. Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh condemnation. The King says damnation, but that's not the correct word. It's condemnation and judgment. Not discerning the Lord's body. Not understanding why his body was broken in the first place. For this cause, many are sick and weak among you. But if we would judge ourselves, verse 31, we should not be judged. If we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Very interesting. He says they were approaching the communion table, but they were not discerning what it was there for. The Lord's body was broken for you. So they were approaching it in a manner that was unworthy of him, because something was out of order. And when they were partaking of it, they didn't understand. They weren't discerning what it was there for. It's not just a cup and a little wafer you take and you do it from a religious sense. It's there to remind you of something he did. The cup was the New Testament. It gave you standing with him. And the standing of salvation, the washing, the cleansing, he gave you your sonship, but that body of the Lord was broken for a very specific reason. Now go back for a moment, verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Well, you don't have to partly believe it. Just believe it. In fact, in chapter 1, he says, I hear there are contentions among you. The house of clothes told me there's contentions among you. Chapter 3, he goes, I wanted to give you meat because of the division and the contention of your hearts. You're fighting with, you're quarreling. He goes, I have to give you milk. I can't even give you meat. And he reminds them of his contentions. He goes, these divisions among you. Don't you know? So what he's saying, the body of the Lord was broken for this very reason. And you're coming to the communion table with division and contention in your heart. And you're not knowing that that table was there for a purpose. You're not discerning why his body was broken. Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, or our lack of peace, was laid upon him for us. And by his stripes, we are what? We're healed. Chastisement of our lack of peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes, we are what? Do you know what those stripes were for? You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 25, under the law, when a man and a woman had contention, strife, betrayal between one another. They had an offense towards each other. You and I can have an offense and walk right out that door. Under the law, you couldn't do that. If there was a quarrel, a contention, an offense, if someone did you wrong, somebody trespassed against you, you didn't just get to walk around carrying it. You had to go before the judges, the rulers, over the tribes. And the judge and the ruler would decide the guilty party after hearing the matter. You can read about it later in Deuteronomy 25. The guilty party would have to lay down face on his face with his back exposed. And they gave him up to 40 stripes. Not to exceed, depending on the level of offense, the level of contention, the level of quarrel, the level of strife, the level of betrayal. 40 stripes for an offense. You didn't just carry it around. Somebody had to suffer the penalty of carrying that around. You didn't just get to do that. The Lord said, my own familiar friend's going to lift his heel against me. But I'm going to wash his feet in advance. But even more than that, I'm going to step into the shoes of the betrayer. And I'm going to take the position as guilty. I'm going to go before the judge and the magistrates and the Sanhedrin. And they're going to administrate through the Roman procurator 40 stripes, because I'm going to take the stripes of every betrayal, of every offense, of every division ever given. And I'm going to do it as an innocent lamb, because I've already released the trespass. And now I'm going to step into the shoes of the trespassor. And I'm going to be the guilty one. And they're going to lay my body to the ground upon that post. And I'm going to take all 40 of them. His body was broken. It was shredded. The chastisement of our lack of peace was laid upon him. Broke his body. Broke through. Chastisement of our lack of peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are made whole. So today, in closing, when you go before that table, whoever's still in your heart, if they're still there, when you take that body, when you tear that, it reminds you that his body was torn. For every offense, for every betrayal, for all division, for all contention, he took it. For you, for us. for the one that you're still carrying on the inside, not discerning the Lord's body. Discern it today and partake in a worthy manner. Don't go before the table with division. Something up in your heart, someone up in your heart, relinquish and let them go. And you hold that bread and you tear that loaf. No, it was torn. He stood in the guilty, which means that betrayal, that offense, that contention, that strife can pass over you. That person, that spirit, it can pass over. It can be loosed. It can be remitted. It can be let go because the guilty party was the one who took the stripes. And that is the Lord. And you can receive for this cause. Many are sick and weakly among you. We can receive the healing. Amen.